Your Bibles, if you'll turn to the New Testament book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank you for what we've already felt today. And Lord, right now we pray, Lord, that you'd still our hearts. And Lord, anything that would separate us from the message that you have for us today, Lord, that you would just set it aside. And Lord, we pray that you would touch our hearts. And Lord, if there are any here this morning that don't know you as their Savior, touch that heart most of all. Father, just forgive us of where we have failed you so many times. And Father, help us all, Lord, when we leave this place today to walk out differently than what we came in. We give you this time as yours. Have your way. And Father, above all, may you be glorified in everything that is said and done. And we'll thank you, Father, for all that you do. In Christ's name we ask all of these things. Amen. You know, this Friday we once again celebrated the independence of our country. We celebrated that. I remember several years back we were going, Ginger and I were going to Williamsburg, and everybody's kind of got their own way of driving up to that way, but I like to kind of go up 95 and it's literally called Highway 40. It takes you all the way down. Connie knows exactly what I'm talking about. You've been through that way, haven't you? Kind of takes you back through the countryside on a little two-lane road, and if you just keep following that and make a couple turns, you'll end up right there at the ferry at Surrey. And we found out we can probably be there in probably 2.5-3 hours. But I remember we were driving on that little two-lane road, and there's stretches on that road where there is nothing. There's some swamp land, then there's just open fields. And I remember I told Ginger one time, because, you know, up in that area was the site of a lot of battles during the Revolutionary War. I told Ginger, I said, can you just see those British, those redcoats, can you just see them marching across this field like this? And these ragtag bunch of farmers and people that just wanted their freedom, you know, standing up to them. Even with all their fancy uniforms and the power of the throne and everything else they had behind them, they stood firm and they stood fast and they helped win the independence for this country. This was an independence that we fought for and we earned as a nation many years ago. It didn't come easy, and it certainly wasn't free. And it would shudder probably and probably frighten every one of us to know just how many people down through the ages have died, have given their very lives so that we can enjoy the freedoms in this country that we enjoy today. But you know, in looking at our country that was founded on a belief in Almighty God, I can't help but shudder a little bit at how much we've fallen away. You know, instead of looking to our God today before His providence and for His grace and His mercy and His favor upon our country, instead of looking to Him for that, we now look to get Him out of everything that we do. We don't want any reference to Him. We don't want His words anywhere around us. And we don't even want any reference to Him on our currency or even in our pledges to this great land. Even the Ten Commandments, which we proudly show out there between the flags that we have outside. Do you know, it can no longer be shown in many public buildings. Just a few years ago, you probably remember all of the back and forth that went on when some judges wanted the Ten Commandments up in their courtrooms, and it began to be that battle about they can't have it, they can have it. You know, people seem to use, if I remember the arguments that were going on for people that were not in favor of that, they seemed to use it as a reference to religion or God as being the reason they didn't want it in public places. But you know what? I think the real reason a lot of times people don't want the Ten Commandments shown in public places is because when they read those statements that are commands from God, by the way, they're not suggestions, they're not ideas, they're commands. I think when they read those commands on what we should and should not do, I think a lot of times people don't want them there because it convicts them. It convicts them, and they just can't take it. I do not know who said this. His last name was Hewitt, but he said this: everybody looks for different things in the Ten Commandments. Some look for divine guidance. Some look for a code to live by. But most of us are looking for loopholes. A lot of truth in that, Mr. J. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Our founding fathers, they came from an environment that repressed them from a religious standpoint. We'll even talk a little bit about that in our history of even our denomination tonight. But they were men that came from different religious backgrounds and different religious ideas. But one thing they had in common is they wanted to live in a place where they were free to worship God as they saw fit. And when you look at some of the founding fathers of our country and some of the documents that they created that set our country on the path that it's on today, you can't help but notice that it is framed around a love for God. They use phrases such as one nation under God, indivisible with liberty and justice for all. Did you hear that? One nation under God. Under God, not above Him, not even beside of Him, but with God at the top and we underneath. That's the way it's supposed to be anyway, isn't it? That's the way it's supposed to be in everything. In my life, in my household, in our church, and certainly in our nation. Separation of church and state. How many times have we heard that? Ginger's a teacher, and her teammate Missy is back there today. And Miss Steer, thank y'all so much for being here today. But I've heard Ginger even come home and say, they've got to be very careful about what they say. They got to be very careful about what they say. I remember a few years ago, Ginger came home and she was just beaming. And the reason for that, they were having some type of little show and tell in class, and some kid came in with a necklace that had a cross on it. And his show and tell was that cross. And he said, "This is a cross I was given when I was baptized this week." Ginger said, "I was sitting right there going, go, go, tell it. I can't tell it, but you can." You know, they've got to be careful in that. And you know what? Separation of church and state is really what I believe our founding fathers wanted. But it's become a box of worms in the last 20, 30 years. Every time you look around, there's some case somewhere concerning the separation of church and state. But you know what the real deal was? The real deal was not that the church not be involved in the state. That's the way it was set up from the beginning. The reason they wanted a separation of church and state is because they didn't want the state meddling into church's business. And we've kind of got it upside down and back to front, and you see what a mess it's gotten to be. I remember, and I know the old, every time I mention something like this, it reminds me that I'm just getting older and older and older. But I do remember, even in kindergarten, with Miss Joyce Lipscomb, I got a prize for memorizing the 23rd Psalm. I remember in elementary school, standing up, putting my hand over my chest every morning and saying the Pledge of Allegiance. I remember the Gideons being able to come in and listen, they could actually take a Bible and hand it to a young person. And you know what? Here's the frightening thing. I know I'm getting old, but I don't feel that old. And the reality is that hadn't been that long ago. But all of that's been wiped out. We've got a generation of young people that don't even have never even experienced that. Today, the Ten Commandments, they cannot be displayed in a public school. Evolution is taught from early on, but if you teach that creation was made by a loving God, all that can't be mentioned. Prayer is probably never allowed. That's one reason I am so glad that we can work with like our football team in Clayton, because we get them off campus and we get them here. And when we get them here, we can feed them two ways. We can feed their bellies, but we can also feed them spiritually. Separation of church and state. What that means today is that belief in God and in His Bible and in the creation story and in prayer and in anything that concerns love and worship of God, it is slowly but surely being stifled out in the name of separation of church and state. And the irony of all this is that our founders were not, like I said, they were not concerned about God being in the state. That's where they planted Him when they founded this country. They didn't want any more religious repression like they left behind. So they set it up for the state and for the church to be separate. They wanted one nation under God. Under God. But the story is old as history itself, that any time we're kind of left to our own devices, things begin to go sour sometimes. Our country, when you really stop and think about it, it's only just a few hundred years old. But we are slowly but surely drifting back to the same type of repression of religion and religious beliefs that our founding fathers fought to overcome. We're heading right back to where we came from. And you know what? I really don't think that will ever end until the Lord comes back. I think if our Lord comes back tomorrow or 500 years from now or 1,000 years from now, after I am long gone from this earth, I think people will still be struggling about coming under the will of God. We talked a little bit about this the other night at prayer meeting, about how people that profess to love Jesus and we wear our Christianity out loud. We let people see that. There are people that dislike and despise us that do that. You know, there was a lot of ways that people celebrated Independence Day. Some went and watched fireworks. Some, I'm sure, indulged in things that they probably had no business indulging in. And there were probably a lot of different ways people celebrated Independence Day. But, you know, I even thought, how about let's try this? Why don't we celebrate the independence of our nation by being one nation under God? In other words, let's get back to the way that it was founded. I don't really know that our nation has been blessed any more or is loved any more by God than any other, but I do believe we as a nation have been blessed, without a doubt. I do know as a nation that we've been blessed. You know, when Israel stayed under God, when Israel stayed under God's direction, He blessed them, did He not? And then when they kind of got away from that and they put God on the shelf and, God, I don't need you now, everything's going well, you know, you need to take a back seat. And they went to doing what they wanted to do, God always punished them, didn't He? And He didn't punish them because He hated them. He punished them to get them back in the right relationship with Him. Every one of us wants freedom. Every one of us want. You don't believe it? Well, I can just use Spencer. I got almost a 22-year-old kid that he wants his freedom so bad he can taste it. And I'm about ready to give it to him. He's going to get married next year, and he and I have spent a lot of time together this weekend, and we've talked about what is to come. And I just don't think he quite puts two and two together yet. But those of us that have been down that road, we know that sooner or later, reality will set in, right? And it's one thing by saying, I want my freedom. I'm going to be out of the house. I'm going to be on my own. That's one thing. And that's good. That's good to have that thought. And then reality sets in at the first of the month, does it not? You go to the mailbox and you open the mailbox and then all these bills are stacked up and you start adding them up and you look at your bank account and you're going, oh no. They didn't teach me this math in school. How do I make this many bills fit into this much money? And all of a sudden, we don't want that freedom because that freedom is costing us too much. All of a sudden, now we want somebody that's going to take care of us. We want somebody that's going to put their arms around us and help us and pull us out of where we kind of find ourselves in a rut. But in Christ, it works much the same way. You know, if you're here this morning and you've got Jesus in your heart and you've came to know Him as your personal Savior, before you met Christ, you were chained in sin. And He comes along and He looses those chains. He pulls you out of the mire that you're in. He bandages up the wounds that the world has laid on you. And my Bible tells me in John 8:36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you are free indeed. You are free indeed. There has never been a more true statement. There has never been a more comforting statement that when Christ frees me from the sin in my life, there is not a force in this world that can take it away from me. I can walk away from it. I can turn my back on Him and walk away. But the world can't take it away from me. When Jesus frees us, it doesn't matter where we live, how well we live, how poorly we live. It's just that we know that Jesus has taken our sins away. He's loosened those chains and bonds of sin. And everything in this world gets a little less important. We start looking forward to not everything that we enjoy in this life, but what we're going to enjoy in the life to come. Some people interpret freedom differently. Maybe one person believes freedom or liberty is a license to do whatever they think, whatever they want to do, whenever they want to do it, however they want to do it. Maybe somebody else interprets freedom and they go to the opposite extreme and say, well, because I'm free, now I've got to adhere to every inch of the law. And I think somewhere between those two is true Christian liberty. The Bible tells us that when we're free because we place our faith and our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ. But listen to this, folks. Just because we are free does not mean we're free to do anything. Just because we're free from sin does not mean that now we're free to go and do anything. We're free from Satan and from sin for a purpose. We are free to follow Christ. That's why we are made free. That's what the Apostle Paul was trying to tell the church at Galatia today. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. That's what he's trying to tell them. Another translation puts this verse like this. My friends, you were chosen to be free. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do anything you want. Use it as an opportunity to serve each other with love. I like that translation. Let's look at just a couple of things that freedom in Christ does not allow us to do. When we are free in Christ, the Bible tells us that we are free indeed. But just because we're free does not mean we can run away from God's laws. It does not mean we can run away from God's laws. Psalm 119:32, I will run the way of thy commandment when thou shalt enlarge my heart. When I was a little boy in this church, we used to stand up here in front of this communion table. And I can remember Miss Evelyn Moore, Mr. Melvin Moore's wife. She used to lead the little youth choir that would stand up here. She'd sit on that pew right there, and she used to love to sing this song, Oh, be careful, little feet, where you go. You know, be careful, little hands, what you do. Careful, little eyes, what you see. Because it reminded us that the Father up above is looking down in love. In other words, He sees us everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. That's true, and it hasn't changed. When we are made free from the bonds of sin, the last thing we need to do is turn around and run right back toward that bondage. That's the last. But you know what? That's our human nature. That's our human nature. The first time things just kind of go haywire in our life after we've committed ourselves to Christ, the first thing we want to do is go back to something that we feel comfortable in. And you know what? If you do that, if you feel that urge to do that in your heart, first of all, realize you don't need to turn back. When you turn your face toward Christ, that's where you need to keep it. Don't turn your back on Him. But also realize this, you ain't the first one that's felt that way. When Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt after over 400 years of slavery and bondage, they had finally got their Independence Day when Pharaoh finally had enough of the plagues and he looked at Moses and said, just take them. Just take them. Just get them out. Just take them. And they're so happy. Don't you know they're happy when they're loading up their families and all their belongings and they're getting out of the city and they're never going to have to be a slave again. And the minute they get out and Pharaoh changes his mind and they see Pharaoh's army bearing down on them from the back, and the Red Sea in the front, what do they start doing? Moses, you brought us out here to die. We could have died just as easy in Egypt. Why did you do this? And here's the thing. They saw God's hand at work that day as He parted the Red Sea, and my Bible says they walked through on dry land. And as the Egyptians pursued them, the waters closed over them, said they saw their bodies wash up on the beach. Wouldn't that make a believer out of you? What if you go down to Myrtle Beach and you're out on the beach and God just parts that water? You've just seen that water right there and now there's an aisle and you walk out there and it's dry. I'm telling you, Mr. Rayford, I believe I would be all in right there. But here's the thing. They went through. They saw God close that sea on their enemy. They're safe. They've made it. They're out of bondage. And then guess what? They didn't have enough to eat. And so they started complaining. Again, Moses, why'd you lead us out here? At least in Egypt, even if we were enslaved, at least we had enough to eat. Folks, let me tell you something. When we're released from the bondage of sin, the last thing we need to do when tough times come is turn around and go back. He's brought us too far. We are made free for a purpose. And that purpose is not to run from God's laws just because we encounter difficulties in living the Christian life. Matter of fact, that's all the more reason to cling to Him, have faith in His direction, and know that His plan for our life is never going to lead us wrong. Freedom also does not allow us to love anything more than God. Nothing. Nothing. Not our job, not our spouse, not money, not even Powhatan Church. Folks, y'all know my heart. First of all, you know I love that lady sitting back there. You know I love you. You know I love this church. But I'm going to tell you something. under all of it is where I need to be. God needs to be at the head. That's where it needs to be. That's the right way to do it. Hebrews 13:5, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For he had said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, whenever we put anything above God's rightful place in our lives, it's a sin. It's a sin. Nothing should ever come before God. But sometimes we put things we want to do for ourselves ahead of what we should be doing for God's kingdom. We put our desire for one more dollar ahead of doing something for Him. Folks, there is nothing in this world worth holding on to and losing our soul. Contentment in this life is not going to come from material things. They can't ever satisfy our heart. Only God can do that. When we have God, we've got all that we need. Everything that's material in this life is going to decay. It can be taken away from us. And when we're gone, it's going to be somebody else's. But my Bible tells me that my God will never leave me or forsake me. Just because we're free, we can't put anything above God. Just because we're free, we can't escape His laws. And we could spend quite a bit of time going over other things, because I mean, things such as when we're free, that doesn't give us an occasion to lie, to steal, to do evil, to kill, or anything such as that. Paul reminds us of this. Paul even said, when he's talking about grace, he said, should I sin all the more so that grace would abound? And he said, God forbid. God forbid. Paul is reminding this church at Galatia this morning that we read, he is reminding them as well as me and you that we were chosen by God to be free. We were never meant to be enslaved in sin. He chose us to be free. Probably long before you and I ever decided that we wanted to be free. But once we've experienced that freedom, we're not to use it as a crutch or as an excuse to live any way we want to. We should still live according to the commandments of God, not as an act of punishment, but as one of love and adoration to the only one that could set us free in the first place. I don't know if you've been watching any TV this holiday. Ginger and I, this has gotten to be kind of laughable in our house. Over the holiday, I've been running kind of hard, and I hadn't had a chance till yesterday to even sit down in front of the TV at any time. But we were watching NCIS, and commercial would come on. Y'all know what I'm talking about. And it was for only 50 cents a day, you can help hungry children across the world. Next time there was a commercial, it was with the ASPCA. For only 60 cents a day, you can help a dog. It costs more to help a dog than it does a child, evidently. But here's one thing that I noticed in preparing for this. It dawned on me. I didn't even tell Ginger this. It dawned on me last night when I was watching one of these. They show some guys coming out to rescue these pit bulls that have been chained up. And they show the face of those pit bulls, and you can see the scars from the battles that they've been through. You can see the chains, the big old log chains that they've got hung around their necks and tied, and they've been left alone. They've been left alone. They're out there. They look like they're hungry. They need to be fed. They got wounds that need to be bound up. They're chained to this tree by this log chain, and they can't get away. And these are dogs that were bred for fighting. And some of these rescuers would come up there, and as they got close to those dogs would start wagging their tail, and they would get down, and they would kind of ease over to them. And you know what? They were happy to see them. You know why? Because somebody was there to do something for them they couldn't do for themselves. Somebody could take care of those wounds. Somebody could feed them. Somebody could make sure that they were cared for. Somebody could loosen that chain that was binding them. And you know what? It's much the same way when our sins, when our bonds of sins are released. The only one that could do for us something that we couldn't do for ourselves is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He comes to us and He looks at us and we've got wounds from where the world has hurt us. We've got chains of sin that are binding us that we can't get away from. We're hungry for something that we can't get that only He can provide. And you know what? He comes and He takes those chains of sin off of us. He binds up our wounds, forgives our sins, feeds us spiritually, and puts us on the right track. You know the only difference between those dogs and us is that we turn around and bite the one that takes care of us. Many times we turn around and the very one, Jesus Christ, that takes our sins away, we turn around and we snap at Him and we say, I don't want to live the way You want me to live. I don't want to do the things You want me to do. You know, I think the difference in reaction between that dog and us has a lot to do with love. Look at what Paul says at the last part of this. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Paul reminds us that we're to use our freedom in Christ to serve each other with love. And you know what? When we serve each other with love, it takes the focus off of us and it puts it on others. If you're here this morning, I want to ask you a couple of things. Are you free? And I mean, are you truly free? Are you living a life of freedom in Christ, or are you pulling on those chains that hold you back from what you could be each and every day? I want you to know something. You can be loose today. You can be loose today if you'll just come. I'd like to pray with you, and I'd like to ask Jesus to take those chains off you and give you a brand new start, and He will. I can promise you that. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe something in this has touched you, and maybe you're sitting there thinking, you know what? I've been using my freedom in Christ to try and live exactly like I want to live. And I certainly, folks, right here, I can tell you this, I'm not anybody's judge. But I can tell you this from God's Word, that if there's anything in your life that you've put ahead of God, or if there's anything that you do right now that you absolutely positively know is wrong in the eyes of God, it's a sin, and you need to get it right with God today. His grace, His Word tells us, is available to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And He'll do that if we'll just ask Him to. And when He does, He'll put a desire in our heart to serve others that'll take attention away from ourselves and put it where we can be of service to others. If God has spoken to your heart this morning, I invite you to come at our invitation. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, we thank You for the freedom that You give us. Father, freedom that we can only enjoy by having You in our heart and in our life. And Father, if we have used that freedom, Lord, to try and run against and run contrary to the pathway that You've laid out for us, Father, we ask for forgiveness. But Father, if there are any here this morning that has struggled against sin and just cannot get away, Father, I pray that today You would just impress upon their heart that today is their Independence Day. Today is the day, Lord, that they can be free. They can walk. They may have walked in bound by sin, but they can walk out loosed and with a freedom in You that is unmatched by anything else in this world. Father, only You know each and every heart here. And I pray, Lord, that You would touch us, convict us, Lord, of where we have fallen short. Father, bring to our sight the things that we need to make right with You, and have Your way right here in this time of invitation is my prayer. In Christ's name, we ask all of these things. Amen.